You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
David Dusek is Golf Week senior writer. He is on Twitter at golfweek_Dusek, and I'm sure he's going to want to talk some Cubs baseball as well.
Oh, he's welcome to.
He joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. What's happening, David? How you been?
Good afternoon. I'm the only one who woke up at 1:30 Eastern time this morning, so it feels like afternoon. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Afternoon to you. So obviously a big story on the course heading into this, and obviously now that he's completely exploded, is Rory McIlroy going home to play his home course. He was, in a lot of places, a betting favorite, if not the betting favorite. He quad bogeyed to begin his day. What is going on? What has happened to Rory McIlroy?
You know, I mean, up until now, Rory McIlroy, I think for the last couple of years, has probably had this week circled on the calendar. And I think the easy sort of explanation would be that he's almost wanted it too much, that he put too much into this and wasn't able to sort of handle the scrutiny and the spotlight that he was going to be under. I mean, I think the only player who can really empathize with this is Tiger, because the first time, obviously, we're bringing the Open Championship back to Northern Ireland, to Royal Portrush, since 1951. The entire golf nation, I mean, they're just crazy about the sport. And Rory is the one that is, you know, sort of to them is the chosen one. Like, he's the son that they think is going to bring home all the titles. And right, as you mentioned from the get-go, he scores an 8 on a par 4. He hits out of bounds on his very first shot, has to take an unplayable after hitting his 4th, and just makes a mess of everything throughout the day. Showed a little bit of spunk trying to get it back. But I wonder if it was just, it sounds like a cop-out answer. You end up getting a terrible day on a tough golf course, and it could not have come at a worse time. It might be as simple as that. It could be a combination of bad shots, bad luck, and wanting it too much. He came in, he talked to the media. I give him a lot of credit for that. But to me, he just absolutely didn't have it, and we know he can hit the shots. So it's got to, me, be as much psychological as it is physical.
How does this layout at Royal Portrush and the current conditions stack up with what we tend to think of as the archetypical British Open courses?
This is it. I mean, there's a little bit more undulation in terms of, like, elevated tees and greens than you typically get at a Lynx course. Lynx courses, by definition, link the sea to the land. And so you get these sand dunes and mounds, and usually they're, you know, 10 or 15 feet high, and it's sort of this rolling terrain. This one has a little bit more movement to it. The weather that we've seen today is absolutely right out of the textbook, where you get sun and warm weather, and then 20 minutes later it's raining sideways and blowing 30, and then it, you know, and it changes, and it's sort of comes to define golf, basically, you know, in the British Isles, the UK, and Ireland. This is what you get all the time, and this is what we honestly like to see. We don't get this kind of terrain and this kind of combination with weather here in the United States. It's a very unique style of golf. You have to play golf differently. The course demands it. The greens are slower. Guys are going to roll the ball up onto the greens oftentimes, which you don't see that much on the PGA Tour. This is a magnificent test, and so far it's proving to be a very challenging one for some of the game's best players.
Yeah, a lot of those big-time players are through three and even. Tiger Woods, Patrick Reed, Dustin Johnson, Bubba Watson, Lee Westwood, all those guys. Lee Westwood at 5. I've seen, though, since he's gone off, and we've started the show here, David, a couple of memes going around the internet about Tiger. There's struggle face going on, man. What is up with Tiger? What have you seen?
Well, he's not going to tell us anything, and certainly until he gets off the golf course. But it's the one that everybody's referring to is that his opening tee shot went into the left rough on the very first hole, and it wasn't in danger of going out of bounds. There is internal OB on the left side, which is a very bad, fluky, ridiculous thing in my opinion. But and he winced, and it was tough to tell whether he was wincing because of the bad shot or if there's something with the back. Now, clearly, when Tiger won last, it was last August, beginning of September, I suppose it was, in Atlanta. I was down there. It was hot. Very easy for someone with a bad back or aching muscles to stay loose and limber. Very easy.
Right.
It was damp in Augusta, but it was warm, and so he was able to handle that. And then at the PGA Championship and Pebble Beach for the U.S. Opens, it was cool, it was damp, and he never really seemed to have the speed that he showed earlier when he won those last two events, the Masters and the Tour Championship. So I wonder, and I think that everybody else does, is this golf course and this condition, cold and wet and windy, is this just present him with a challenge to where he just can't loosen up? He can't create the speed that everybody else has had, given all the back injuries he's had.
Fascinating name on the leaderboard right now in Kiradech Afabarnrat. Where is his game right now? And it's going to be broadcasters and fans alike may have to get used to saying that name more.
Well, everybody just refers to him around the PGA Tour as the Barn Rat. He is a true character. He is, if he was American and was playing a little bit more and was on TV, people would absolutely adore this guy. He collects Ferraris. He's a native of Thailand. He plays constantly. This is his first year on the PGA Tour, playing mostly on the U.S. PGA Tour. He had played Asian Tour and European Tour. Big guy, big heart, loves life, loves food. If you could take a look at him on TV, you can sort of get a picture of that. He's got surprisingly good touch and feel for a big guy. I think you see sort of, him, and you imagine he's going to really send it out there. He doesn't hit it as far as some of the other players that are out there. He's not a big hitter, but he's got a very deft touch and a lot of creativity. And the fact that he is able to right now go out there and shoot 68, he's tied for second place. I think that 68 could hold up. I don't know under these weather conditions if anybody's going to pass, Shane Lowry's 67 today, but not wholly surprising given that this guy has played all around the world in all different kinds of conditions, that when things are variable like they are, he's able to adapt his game and compete.
He's got a little John Daly in him too, because it's not just the food. He smokes and vapes, and
he's working the vape like 24/7. He loves his Juul. He loves his vape. Yeah, absolutely. It's an interesting lifestyle. He is a very interesting lifestyle. Let's just put it that way.
He's a Logan Square golfer is what he is. Yeah. I wonder, you mentioned the weather a couple of times here, and that this course is a little atypical of open courses that as you might think of them. Is it the course or the weather that is going to restrict a certain skill set this weekend? Which one is going to fight harder against maybe some of the bigger hitters or some of the guys who don't have touch around the green?
I would argue that Lynx golf courses, when they're played in the type of weather that we normally associate and that we're expecting, don't really restrict anybody. When Tom Watson 10 years ago at age 59 nearly won an Open Championship at Turnberry, there were blustery conditions then. The golf course being built literally on sand dunes, drains exceptionally well. So it's not like the water slows it down all that much. A little bit, but not tons. You're not going to see standing water on the greens ever. The water just goes right through it. And I think that allows big hitters to have their advantage. They take shorter clubs. You'll see driving irons and potentially fairway woods in some cases off the tees because driver can sometimes go too far. But there are some drivable par fours. We've seen it. 17, 5, I believe, is sort of in play with that. There are a couple of them that are out there where big hitters get a little bit of an edge. But I think that one of the beauties of Lynx golf is it's pretty much open to everybody. If you have some creativity and if you've got the nerve to try different types of shots than what were normally on display at PGA Tour events, then anybody can win. Any style can win an Open Championship.
What does that mean for how the bag is set up? I know you've talked before about when you have to have multiple wedges, maybe you get a rescue club in there, a hybrid of some kind. What has been conventional wisdom for how to pick the weapons?
Usually what guys will do is that they'll carry a driver and one fairway wood, and they'll take out the higher lofted stuff because if the wind is blowing, you want to keep the ball down below the wind and play it along the ground. So you'll see guys maybe put in a 2-iron, a driving iron, something that's going to keep it on a lower trajectory so it's not knocked off its course by the wind quite as much. That's number one. And depending on exactly how comfortable the guys are, sometimes they will go with a wedge that has what's referred to as a lower bounce, which just means the leading edge is lower to the ground. It's better suited for harder turf, and it won't dig in quite as much given the technique that they're going to use. The grass is cut so tight around the greens. You see all these balls roll off and then roll 30 or 40 yards either back down a hill or into a collection area. And if the turf is firm and the grass is cut tight, the leading edge is up because you got a lot of bounce, it's very difficult to get underneath the ball and to be able to hit it up. So guys usually go with lower bounce wedges and driving irons when they play links courses.
So there's three guys, at least here on the show, that we've kind of grouped into one category. It's the one of these guys is going to win one of these days.
All right, is my guy on
it's
the
real,
list?
It's real specific. But it's Tommy Fleetwood, that's Dan's. Ricky Fowler, that's America's, and then John Rahm, but he's a crazy person. Which one of those three would you say is of the three most likely to come out of this sparkling?
I like all of them a lot, and they've all played well in these courses. Rahm just won the Irish Open. He's played Royal Portrush as an amateur a couple of years ago, so he has a little bit more familiarity, I think, than some of the other guys, although I'm not 100% sure how much Tommy Fleetwood, who's from Southport, England, may have played Royal Portrush. I know that this is the first time Fowler's playing it, certainly in competition. So I might give a little bit of an edge to Rahm. But as you said, sometimes he's loco in the cabeza, and he's got to really work hard to keep his head in the game. And he's done a much better job of that. He naturally has a lower ball flight, which, as I sort of mentioned earlier, you want to keep it down below the wind. If he putts well, he can definitely win. He's got all the other stuff. The European fans are going to love seeing a European player there. They would obviously love to see Fleetwood. They'd love to see Rory or G-Mac or Darren Clark went out there, and he hit the first tee shot and, of course, made birdie on one because he's Irish and they're lucky. And I just think that Rahm would be, out of those three, the most likely to be there at the end on Sunday.
What are the galleries like? There seems to be every tournament takes on its own sort of temperature when it comes to some of this stuff. And I know
right.
Every region for the Open Championship can be different in the way the patrons behave.
I think, number one, they're well hydrated. I think that's a given.
Okay.
One of my favorite things about the Open Championship is they have not only beer, but they have the famous grouse available on the golf course.
Wow.
So if things get a little bit chilly, you can go and have a wee dram of something to warm up your insides. I think that they're very, very eager to roar and to cheer. The attendance is sold out. The event is sold out, and they're anticipated to have ballpark of about 250,000 people attend the championship during the tournament days. It's going to be the second biggest or the second most attended British Open ever, after the ones that they get at St. Andrews in Scotland. So tons and tons of people. It's a real happening, and obviously it's the biggest sporting event that's probably taken place in decades in Northern Ireland, and that means a lot. I mean, this event was announced that they were going back to Royal Portrush. The only time that the Open Championship has been contested outside of England or Scotland are these two at Royal Portrush, this one obviously being the second. It's a huge deal for the people of Northern Ireland to host this tournament. I think they're very proud, rightfully, to be here. They're looking to cheer. They'd love to cheer the hometown guys, the Irish players, Padraig Harrington and G-Mac and those guys, etc. They may have to shift gears a little bit because Rory McIlroy is going to really have to play well tomorrow to make the cut and be around for the weekend. But they love golf, as I said at the top, and they're very eager to put their best foot forward. And I have a feeling that we will probably very soon after this tournament concludes hear the announcement that the Open Championship will be coming back to Portrush, and I think that this will become a regular stop on the road for the British Open.
All right, David Dusek, your Cubs are 5-1 out of the break right now and looking to wrest control of the NL Central from here on in. Your thoughts?
So my question to you guys, I'm looking at the schedule. We've got three against San Diego, which, you know, we got to be able to take two or three. Then the schedule beyond that worries me a little bit, and I want you to talk me off the ledge, because then we go right into Milwaukee, St. Louis, critical games there. We go out west and we play San Francisco and then Milwaukee again. It's a big sort of next couple weeks are going to be really important for the whole schedule. Are we done making moves, or do you guys have a little bit of a insider info that you can share with me and nobody else, I suppose, on the air?
Yeah, it's just us girls talking. They're going to make some sort of move, and I guess the hope is, if I can help you with this schedule, the hope is that the Giants move some of their arms before you get in there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Please,
that would help out a little bit. And then
they've been playing lights out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been better for you. And Will Smith has gotten his stuff figured out. Madison Bumgarner's pitching fairly well. Either of those guys could be moved. For my money, though, that Brewers team is ready to fall off a ledge. It just looks poised to fall over. And I don't, you know, I'm just not trusting them.
I don't trust them either. I mean, I'm 100% with you. the Cardinals look like that sneaky team to me right now that's just sort of lurking. And every night when I'm seeing and I'm saying, like, okay, we win again. I've been watching, you know, on MLB, and great, we're taking care of business. And damn it, the Cardinals keep taking care of business along with us. And I don't know. And myself, I like the fact that we got Kimbrel. I like that move a lot, and he's looked like he's been good. I still would like to have one more arm back there that we just know is good for three outs. And that's just the part, I guess, that frightens me.
I think they'll get one.
I'm loving the pronoun usage here. It's outstanding. David, appreciate it as always. Thank you very
much.
Thanks a lot, fellas.
That is David Dusek of Golf Week.
Quality.
Yeah, that's a full-blown Cub meatball right there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.